Hello and welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post, the show that brings together our football tipsters together to preview the upcoming action. Today it's myself, Jack Reeve, joined alongside The Racing Post Sports, Mark Langdon and Bobby Jackson, and from our sponsors, Paddy Power. I'm delighted to be able to welcome Jonathan Smith. 10 live Premier League games to get through today, as well as the Naps and the other bets from the other division. So plenty to get through. Mark, great to have you back on the show. How's things?
Yeah, good, thanks. Good, thanks, Jack. It's good to be back. I've had a few people. It's actually been quite nice, actually. A few people wondering where I am. Usually you get the please stay away. But hopefully won't be for 1 week only. I hope I can come back on.
Brilliant stuff. No, I'm sure the listeners will be delighted to have you back on, as well as Bobby and Jonathan. And without further ado, let's get straight into the live action. The first Premier League game this week sees Wolves take on Crystal Palace, this one on BT Sport. 8 o'clock kickoff on Friday. Jonathan, a show of the prices here, please. And what's your prediction?
We've got Wolves at 10 to 11, 11 to 5 the draw, and 100 to 30 Palace. I think for me, I'm going to go for a home win and Jimenez anytime. And as a side bet to that, under 2.5 goals in four of the last five meetings between the two teams as well. So I won't put anybody off back in that. I think Wolves look probably far more clinical than Palace, in my opinion. And I don't know in terms of a recent sort of criticism of Hodgson's style of play. But, you know, Palace's aim should be to keep themselves in the division and build from there. You know, they're an ageing team now. The average age of the squad that started last week was 28 years of age. Three players in the squad are under 24. So there's going to be a big rebuilding job for whoever takes over at Crystal Palace after Hodgson. And I think for me, I'm looking for a home win and Jimenez anytime.
Mark, what would be made to Crystal Palace's start to the season? I feel they've gone a little under the radar. I mean, they're eighth in the division, three wins so far this season. Hasn't been a bad start, has it?
No, absolutely not, no. And you have a look at sort of some of the, you know, they've won at Old Trafford, beat Southampton, a very sort of tricky team to overcome, and of course problems for a lot of sides this season and in other campaigns too. So I think that was a big win for them last week against Fulham. I actually fancied Fulham to win that game, and the table is so tight because that was the kind of game where if they lose, then there's probably a lot of negativity around you know, Palace, because that they'd be sort of down in around about 15th spot or something. But you know, one win takes you right up. I agree with Johnny here. I think that Wolves to win is the way to go. If you're looking at sort of some other markets, maybe Wolves to win 1-0, which would have landed in three straight games had they not conceded that last-minute goal against Newcastle. And also draw half-time, Wolves full-time. They've been 0-0 in their last three Premier League games. And, of course, last season, it was trademark Wolves to be level at the break. And then for them to, you know, go on and nick a winner.
Bobby, what about you? Are you pretty keen on Wolves here as well?
Yeah, I think I'd be looking at Wolves to win this one. I think they've got too much for Crystal Palace, really. Lots of quality all over the field. And I think that's been illustrated so far this season by the fact that Adama Traore is often on the bench. We even saw João Moutinho start on the bench last time out as well. So I think Nuno's doing a good job of trying to rotate his side, make sure that he can bring on players to finish matches strongly. As Mark just said there, they do tend to leave it late in matches to go and get their goals. I think the bet I'd be looking at is under 1.5 goals in this game. I think it's going to be a tight one. Both sides have really struggled for the goals this season. Wolves have only scored 6 times. Palace have scored 8 times. They're the lowest scorers in the top 10. And you actually have to go all the way down to the bottom 3 for any side that scored fewer than Wolves this term. But they're effective. They grind out results. And I think that's why they've been successful since coming back up to the Premier League over the last few years. So I don't think this is going to be a hugely exciting game. I think it is going to be a bit of a grind for Wolves to go and get the win. But I'd imagine they'll probably do it by that odd goal to nil.
Okay, so some agreement in that first game, always good to see. Just 3 games this Saturday, and we start off with Sheffield United against Manchester City on BT Sport. A 12:30 kickoff here. Jonathan, Sheffield United, one of 4 teams this season without a win in the Premier League so far, and it's not getting any easier for them here, is it?
No, not really. We're 17-2 Sheffield United, 9-2 the draw, and 2-7 City. I mean, at that price, Would you lump on Manchester City? Unsure. Defensively, I think this would be a different proposition for them that they've maybe not faced so far this season. And I do think they will win this one. I think they'll probably win 2-0, but it would be a very, very cagey game. Last year, they only beat them 2-0 and 1-0. I don't know. I'm not overly convinced with Manchester City at the back. They're missing Aguero and Jesus up front. And I just think maybe on the break, City probably will have too much pace with Sterling and Mahrez. And I think probably they will win this one, but it'll be a tough game for Man City on Saturday. And I think they'll probably win 2-0. I think that's my value bet.
Mark, hardly a convincing start to the season for Manchester City, but a good win in the week for them in Europe, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, Marseille are not great by Champions League sort of standards. They're in a really soft group, but they controlled the game, didn't offer up many opportunities, which has not always been the case with City, even when they've had, you know, so-called easy games on paper. You know, they find ways of conceding goals. I feel like they are, because Aguero's out and Jesus has been out, I feel like Guardiola has taken a step back after what happened against Leicester with that 5-2. And even then, that game against Leeds that was, you know, just so chaotic. That's not really how Pep Guardiola wants his teams to, you know, to be involved in matches like that. You know, he's spoken about it before, that possession is also, it's like a defensive mechanism as much as anything else. You keep the ball so the opposition don't have it, and they can't hurt you if they haven't got the ball. And so I've definitely noticed that they're trying to be more controlled. They had a lot of possession against West Ham, only conceded to that brilliant Antonio goal. They beat Arsenal 1-0. Once they went in front, they didn't really sort of look to get that second, third, fourth goal like we know that City can, even against Marseille. It was controlled again. And so with that in mind, my bet for this game is Man City to win and under 3.5 goals. It kind of plays into what Johnny was just talking about there, about, you know, Sheffield United not having much up front either. And it's such a packed schedule at the moment that, I mean, once you get in front, there's no need to sort of try and get, you know, crazy scores. And we see it with Aston Villa, of course, with a 7-2. But it looks to me like there's been a calming down around the Premier League. Goals were down to 1.9 last week. And even the week before that, it was there were 28 goals in the 10 games, which is, you know, a big drop off from those sort of 3 weeks previous where it was 41, 36 and 44. So I'm going for a more low scoring weekend again, and City to do enough without being spectacular.
Yeah, I think we all needed it to calm down a little bit. We were all getting slightly out of breath, weren't we, with the relentlessness of the goals. Bobby, is it time for Sheffield United fans to start to worry? It hasn't been a good start for them, has it?
It hasn't been the best of starts. Now, I think that they were always going to find it difficult this season with the success they enjoyed last term. We were so happy to see them come up to the top flight and really a breath of fresh air in the way that they approached it. And it's always then going to be tough to try and back that up for a second successive season. I think Chris Wilder, though, is a pretty grounded manager, and he would have known that coming into this second season, it is very much a case of back to the start and let's try and ensure we can survive again. Anything that can get better than that is going to be a bonus. Looking at this game, it's going to be a hugely difficult afternoon for them. I'd be looking at the City win 2-0 as well. I think that game against Marseille last time out was almost the perfect preparation, because Marseille line up in a similar way to Sheffield United do, with that back three and wing backs of Amavi and Sakai. So I think Manchester City almost used that as a bit of a training regime, if you like. And Pep Guardiola was speaking after the game, talking about how he wanted his wingers to stay wide rather than, as we've seen them often do, cut on those inside channels, letting the fullbacks go around them. He wanted them to hug the touchline. And I think they'll be doing that again against Sheffield United, taking up that type of approach going into this game. I think Manchester City will have far too much for the Blades, who, despite bringing in Ryan Brewster, who looks like he could be a good signing eventually, he's not quite been able to strike up that partnership yet with Ollie McBurnie or any of the other players. So you just feel they are lacking a bit in that final third. I expect City just maybe to edge it 1-0, possibly 2-0 in this game.
Yeah, two low-scoring games. predicted by our panel to start off with. I wonder if this next game will have goals. It's Burnley against Chelsea. And Jonathan, how are Paddy Power pricing this?
We've got Burnley at 9-2, under to 30 the draw, Chelsea 1-2.
Can you see an upset here?
No, I can't, unfortunately. Burnley often puffed the other night against Spurs, but they couldn't really break them down. They had a couple of good chances, and I just think Tottenham were well organised. They came with a game plan. Mourinho knew what he was doing, and I think Chelsea, yeah, they've been away to Russia in the week. That might have an impact on them in terms of fatigue, potentially. But I just think it's in the sort of the last few meetings between these two teams, it's been high scoring. And I think, to me, Chelsea winning, probably either both teams to score or Chelsea winning over 1.5 goals here, I think looks the bet for me. I'm just not overly convinced with Burnley this season. They haven't brought in enough reinforcements. And I think they might struggle here.
Mark, where do we stand with Chelsea at the moment? I know there was a lot of excitement surrounding them going into the season. It's been hot and cold for them so far, like Manchester City, a win in the week in Europe. Where are they at going into this game?
Well, I never sort of fully bought into the Frank Lampard's great sort of hyperbole that went around last season. I feel like he's been criticised this year so far, because there's been no pre-season, for these teams. They've brought in a stack of new players. The idea, most of them, from outside the Premier League, the idea that you could just throw that together and it would work straight away, it never rang true to me that was, likely. So I feel like he deserves a time with this team before people start laying into him. Is ever the case, I think. He wasn't as great when people were saying he was, and he's not as bad as what people are saying now. I mean, very difficult to manage a team when you've got somebody like Kepa in goal just making way too many simple mistakes, and Thiago Silva against West Brom just passing it to one of their players. So I feel like it was a lot of individual errors that cost them sort of earlier on in the campaign, which is probably not that much of a surprise. They're bringing in new players. A point away at Old Trafford, I think, was a good result. He showed that he could shut down a game. And definitely Mendy has made a big difference to them in goal. He's played four matches. In his last four matches, he's kept four clean sheets. So, I wouldn't go overboard by what happened against Krasnodar either in midweek, because I think that their goalkeeper finally found somebody worse than Kepa. he was terrible, wasn't he? And three of the goals came really late. So my best bet for this game is under 2.5 goals. Burnley, very well organised against Tottenham, eventually got broken down. Just, it feels quite limited what they're trying to do up front. It's awkward to defend against, but you know what's coming. And the way that Chelsea have kind of stepped it up defensively, I feel like they've got the personnel probably to deal with what Burnley are about to throw at them. I'm not expecting a great game again, unfortunately. I seem to be going for a lot of unders, and this is another one.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. It doesn't matter. It can be an exciting game without goals. Bobby, it does feel as if Burnley lack resource somewhat. Are we going with an away win here?
Yeah, Chelsea on the handicap -1 is what I've looked at for this game. You look at the last two meetings between these two sides at Turf Moor, and Chelsea have been pretty comfortable in them at a 4-0 victory, a 4-2 victory. I think they'll have more than enough about them to go and win this one handsomely as well. As you said before, they brought in a lot of attacking talent over the summer, and yes, it's taken a bit of time for them to bed in. Hakim Ziyech, for instance, had that injury picked up in the one pre-season game that Chelsea had. He's come back now and got himself on the score sheet against Krasnodar. I think it's just starting to come together a little bit more now for Chelsea, and I expect we might see one of their better performances in the Premier League this season when they go to Burnley, who have been pretty woeful, to be honest. I think you look at what Sean Dyche was able or unable to do, I suppose, over the summer in terms of his transfer business, and you have got a bit of concern about how the season might develop for them. He's done a fantastic job, Sean Dyche, but I think it might be starting to come to the end of that type of road now. I'd also maybe be looking at Christian Pulisic to get on the score sheet. He got a hat-trick in this fixture last season when he really sort of put himself in the spotlight. He stepped up in that match and then went on quite a good goal-scoring run after it. He scored his first goal of the season against Krasnodar, so he's now maybe just starting to get to the fitness levels they wanted after he had a bit of an injury at the start of the season. So I think the American may be one to be looking at.
Great stuff. We'll have a goal scorer angle as well. The next game, 5:30 on Saturday, Liverpool taking on West Ham. Jonathan, I find it fascinating with Liverpool. It feels as if, you know, the narrative around them this season is they're maybe not what they were last season. They're struggling with injuries. They got pumped by Villa, yet they're still joint top on points, you know, and they're second in the league. Where are we at with Liverpool this season?
Not sure myself. I just think the centre-half situation could well be their undoing this season. But like most teams, you know, City's had defensive problems. And to me, that are in and around that sort of top six, there's not really a standout defence. I think what will win Liverpool, I think that front three will propel them forward this season. I think that's what they're going to be solely reliant on them to score more goals than the opposition. And I think here, I think they will win Liverpool, but I think it'll be a win in both teams to score. And I certainly, in terms of West Ham, I think they've looked quite well drilled in recent weeks. And I think up front, Antonio will cause Liverpool some issues. I mean, Jones that came on the other night, I think, or Williams, the centre-half for Liverpool, he's only 19. I mean, it's a bit of a big ask for him to potentially play against someone as experienced as Antonio. And I think they will win this one, but I think it'll be a close game. And my other bet in the match would be Thomas Souchek to be carded for West Ham. He's committed the most fouls in the Premier League this season, so there might be a bit of value there for punters.
Brilliant stuff. Mark, West Ham was certainly the team that I got completely wrong this season. I didn't think that they'd be too much competition for any side this year, but they've looked good, haven't they? And surely they'll provide a challenge for Liverpool.
I'm only just able to speak about West Ham again after what happened at White Hart Lane a couple of weeks ago. They have. Because in that game against Tottenham, they were never three goals worse, even sort of with 10 minutes to go. I felt like, you know, they played reasonably well. You know, Spurs just scored with their first three shots, really. And they were creating chances and sort of putting balls into the box. And Fornals missed an open goal. They eventually got the three. Scored three against Leicester. They scored four against Wolves. You know, they didn't have much possession against Man City. And it's a difficult game. But recently, West Ham have been absolutely thrashed in that fixture against City. And this time they weren't. And so you can see progress being made for sure. Even against Arsenal, when they lost 2-1, they won the XG that night. And probably deserved at least a point out of the game. They were unlucky to lose. So they're definitely heading in the right direction. They've had the hardest fixtures at the start of the season. So I think they can be, you know, really pleased with their 8 points, particularly after losing the opener to Newcastle, where they were pretty abject. And they've come on a lot since then. I wouldn't be putting Liverpool in any ackers this weekend. They look short enough, but I tend to feel like, you know, that they'll probably win. And so the Liverpool to win and both teams to score angle looks like the best one to me as well. Obviously, Fabinho picked up the injury against Midtjylland in midweek. The suggestion that maybe Matip could be back. They desperately need him to be, because Antonio, who has been declared fit, I think this morning, he's such a difficult player to play against. You know, he's not the most graceful, but he's definitely a handful.
Not graceful, but a handful. I love that. Bobby, two sort of narrow Liverpool wins predicted so far. Will you be with West Ham here?
I won't. I've got to make it a clean sweep in this one. Okay. I've got Liverpool, both teams to score written down in front of me as well. I think I covered Liverpool in midweek when they played Midtjylland, and I thought Liverpool were actually quite lucky to come away from that match with a win. I know Jurgen Klopp had made changes. He dropped his front three just to give them a little bit of a break, and they didn't really click in the final third for the most part of the game. They could have been behind early on. There was an Anders Dreyer chance that was well saved. And even in the latter stage of the match, when they were just 1-0 up, Midtjylland had two or three big chances again that they failed to turn home. So there were parts of that match where you thought you know, what Liverpool aren't looking at their best here. And it's understandable they didn't have their strongest 11 out. We've spoken about the defensive issues and the front three being rested there. I think with that front three coming back and having had a little bit of a break, they sort of made cameo appearances at the end of that game, that they will be a better force in this game against West Ham. Excuse me. I think it's going to be a good game between two sides that have got goals in them. We've spoken about Antonio as well. He's got two goals in his last five games against Liverpool, so don't rule him out, maybe getting on the score sheet in this one. But it is just in the heart of that Liverpool defence. They've got Alisson back now, which is a big bonus. He made some big saves against Midtjylland. But there's just a lack of cohesion. It was Joe Gomez, who was the senior player, if you like, in the heart of defence when young Rhys Williams came on. So that they may be lacking that leadership at the back, and you wonder if maybe they'd look to get James Milner involved for someone who's got a bit of composure in that midfield and can drop into defence and offer a bit of support. That might be a way to go forward for them. But I think Liverpool will be able to find a way past West Ham. They've put on some good games, these two sides, over the years, and I think this could be another good one this weekend.
Yeah, really excited for that evening game on Saturday. Sunday and Monday's Premier League fixtures still to go through. Stay with us.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to part two of the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post. Myself, Jack Reeve, joined alongside Mark Langdon, Bobby Jackson and Jonathan Smith from Paddy Power today to talk us through all things Premier League, and we'll be getting on to the naps later on as well. The early kickoff on Sunday is Aston Villa against Southampton, and Jonathan, what a start to the season it has been for Aston Villa.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, they surprised me, to be honest. But they came unstuck last week against Leeds. We're going 7-5 Villa for this one, 5-2 the draw, and 7-4 Southampton.
How do we see this one going? Obviously, you were probably delighted to see them come unstuck against your boys. We'll get on to Patrick Bamford later. I still can't believe he's scoring Premier League hat tricks, but there we go. Strange things have happened there. Do you think Southampton will be able to find a way through here?
I do, actually, yeah. I'm going to go for an away win. I've watched Southampton for about 60 minutes against Everton the other day, and I thought they were actually very good. But they looked sort of fairly well drilled, fairly well organised. And I think for me, similar to Leeds, they deploy sort of quite a high press up the park. And I think Ings and Che Adams probably will cause Aston Villa defensively some issues. And I feel if they sort of deploy the same tactics as Leeds did, they sort of man Mark Barkley out of the game, really. And Grealish was sort of the playmaker for Villa. And if they can keep them two pretty quiet, I think they've got this one. They can certainly trouble Villa here. And I think they've got the tools and the capable to win this one. So I'm going to go for at the prices at 7-4. I certainly think an away win here for me.
Mark, Villa at home, and considering their start to the season, it seems like quite a fair price, doesn't it?
I like Southampton. It was a brilliant start by Villa. I suppose you could look at it and say, well, you know, most teams have beaten Fulham. Sheffield United were down to 10 men early, missed a penalty. Nothing special in beating the champions 7-2. Bit of luck. That was just a crazy game that probably can't take anything out of it. It was so stupid that you just can't sort of take any long-term sort of views out of it, I don't think. And the Leicester win was a good one, nicked it right at the death. But yeah, I expect Villa to be better this season than what they showed, but still got I suppose to do a little bit more before you can start suddenly putting them in a sort of consistent mid-table team. And I think that Southampton consistency is probably not their strong point either. But Southampton, a team that I've liked, and sort of Postcast regulars will know I've liked them for a good couple of years, really. I definitely feel like that there's more to come from them, and they're starting to show it on a more regular basis now. That they're a horrible team to play against. Their press is really good when it works, apart from a shocking 45 minutes against Tottenham. I feel like they've done well this season. You know, come back against Chelsea, got the 3-3. Ings and Che Adams offer a twin threat up front. I just think Southampton is not. It's not. This is not an anti-Villa suggestion. This one. It's just the fact that I think that Southampton are a really good side, and I'd go for them draw no bet.
Yeah, that's fair enough, Bobby. I mean, I've talked there about Aston Villa's great start, but you look at Southampton, seventh in the table and only 2 points behind Villa. So they'll be quite impressed with their start as well, won't they?
They will be, and what a difference a year makes. Beating Everton last time out, exactly a year on from that humiliating defeat against Leicester. And I think that the club and manager deserve so much credit. The club for sticking by Hasenhüttl and the Austrian for turning things around. He's made some good, shrewd signings in the meantime. He's strengthened in the right areas. I think a lot down to his man management as well. There was a lot made last season about Shea Adams and his failure to maybe make that step up immediately from the Championship after scoring goals. He was tipped to be going out on loan, but Hasenhüttl made it clear he wanted him to stay around the club. He wanted him to learn and develop within Southampton and really get to grips with the philosophy. And I think we're starting to see the benefit of that this season. Adams, for me, has been Southampton's best player. He's scored in his last two games. Obviously, Danny Ings has taken the headlines because he's scored more goals, but it's what Adams does off the ball as well. He makes intelligent runs. He comes and shows short. He links up nicely. As Mark said, I think those two up at the top have really started to gel quite nicely. So I think they could be a top 10 side quite comfortably this campaign. I can't quite pick a winner from this one. I have been impressed by Villa. Likewise, at the business that Dean Smith has done, I think, has been really good. Watkins coming in particular. Traore, I quite like him too. I think he's strengthened in the right areas. Barkley coming in to support Grealish in that midfield. So I'm struggling to pick the winner from this game. My bet would be an Adams goal off the back of scoring in successive games. I think at red hot form, he's one you need to be looking at to go and continue that streak.
Newcastle Everton next up on Sunday, 2 o'clock kickoff. This one. Jonathan, how are Paddy Power pricing this?
We've got Newcastle 11-4, 12-5 the draw, and Everton 10-11.
And your selection, please.
I'm going to go for Newcastle draw, no bet. I just think Everton at the prices are slightly overreacted in terms of the market price here for me. They went off 13-10 away at Newcastle last year, in and around that mark. And if you compare it, the first game of last season, Arsenal went off at 10-11 away at 11-10 at St James's Park. So for me, I just think the slight overreaction for Everton. Yeah, they've got James. To me, I'm still not convinced in terms of Pickford in between the goals at Everton. I think his place is going to come under fire soon. I think probably Ancelotti may well look for a replacement in January. I think for me, Newcastle, with Wilson and St Maxim up front, I think will be difficult. And if they do need to get the ball into the box, they've got Carroll in there, and I think they're probably going to be able to cope with Everton here. And I think, yeah, just at the prices, I just think Everton are too short for me away from home here. I'm going to go for Newcastle draw, no bet.
Mark, the Premier League's fascinating, isn't it? We're six games in, so it feels as if we can get a taste of what teams are going to show us for the rest of the campaign. But you look at the table, and it still doesn't feel like it's taken any kind of shape so far. Where do we think Everton are at the moment?
I feel like their best 11 will feel like that they can compete for a European spot. But the problem that Everton have got is that they're missing some very important players for this trip to Newcastle, because both fullbacks are out, Digne and also Seamus Coleman, and they offer the team a lot. Whether it's crossing into Calvert-Lewin, which is of course is a great strength of his. Also, just offering the width, particularly Coleman, because James likes to come inside. And Ben Godfrey, you'll know this, Jack. I mean, he's got a lot of qualities, but I don't think he's ever going to be an attacking right back. So that was a hard position for him. I know Everton fans are calling maybe for Jonjo Kenny to start against Newcastle instead, just to give them that kind of natural, sort of more attacking outlet, I suppose, because it will help the team. But you've got Richarlison out as well. It just feels like one too many. I'm not a big fan of Newcastle. I think the market generally has them right, which is, a team that is punching above their weight. Their results are a lot better than their performances and have been for a long time. And I still don't think that's sustainable. And, Steve Bruce some people say he's doing well, other people saying he's getting lucky, but on this occasion, I'm going to go with them tentatively, because like I say, I'm not a big fan of the stats they're putting up, but I just think Newcastle or draw double chance, purely on the basis that Everton are missing some very important players, and I'm not sure that it's really factored into the market enough.
Oh, interesting. Bobby, are you in agreement here?
No, I'm going to go the other way. I do quite fancy Everton in this one. I think they'll bounce back. All things considered, as we've heard there, that they have got some key players missing. But I quite like the depth that's there in the Everton squad this season. Maybe not so much in those fullback areas, but I think in the midfield, they're well complemented with depth and in the forward areas as well. I expect that Carlo Ancelotti might go towards Bernard this time rather than Alex Iwobi. I don't think he really took his chance with both hands when he was given the start against Southampton. Bernard came on at half-time and looked a little bit better. Everton maybe got some momentum in that second period against Southampton until they were reduced to 10 men and the game really got away from them then. But I like Everton. I think they're playing some good football, definitely contenders for a European spot this season. They've won three of the last four at St James's Park. They lost back in March 2019, but aside from that, they've picked up a couple of wins to nil in the North East and tend to perform quite well against the Magpies. So I think there'll be a big response from them this weekend. Carlo Ancelotti made his claims at the start of the season that Europe is his ambition, and it's games like this that they need to be winning. I think they've got that loss off their back now, which was maybe something that Ancelotti would have welcomed. It is all well and good making a great start to the season and being unbeaten, the only side unbeaten when they went to St Mary's in the Premier League at that point. But you almost want to get that first loss out of the way so you can get a bit of pressure off you. And now they can come back clean slate, try and get on a bit of a run again and see where they can go from there.
Yeah, another tight game to try and predict that one. But some good insight from all of our guests there. 4:30 on Sunday, Manchester United against Arsenal. This has the potential to be a cracker. Marcus Rashford can do no wrong at the moment, it seems. Arsenal take on Dundalk tonight, which I must admit I associate more with all-weather racing than a football team. But there we go. Jonathan, Paddy Power prices for this game.
Yeah, we've got Man United at evens, 5-2 the draw, and 5-2 Arsenal.
Tough one to predict again. Which way are we going?
Very tough. I'm going to go for an away win, actually. I'm going to be brave here. I think Arsenal haven't won at Old Trafford since 2006 in the Premier League. I think they'll probably want to try and change that record. It's not great. And I think if Armitage starts in midfield, Arsenal probably do look a bit of a value, but I think Arsenal have been missing sort of biting centre of midfield in terms of breaking play down for the sort of last couple of years now, and I think Amit is going to bring that to the fore here. They need players like that to step up. I think it's purely dependent on who Arteta plays against. Dundalk tonight will be the giveaways to who he's thinking that will play on Sunday. I think Gabriel as well at the back has been a great signing for Arsenal. But again, Martial's suspended here, so it probably looks like Cavani's probably going to lead the line, which will be interesting to see how he gets on. I think he might be worth a bet in the anytime goal scorer markets potentially. But for me, Arsenal here, it'll be a tight cagey affair. Sort of three of the last four outings at Old Trafford between these two have ended a draw. I just think they might have enough here. It depends. Manchester United at the back, as we know, have had the defensive issues. Look solid enough against Leipzig, but they are prone to conceding goals, so it could be a pick 'em here for me. But I think at the prices, I'm probably going to go for an away win.
Manchester United's form is fascinating. They're unbeaten in 18 if you look at solely midweek games. I saw a Manchester United fan I follow on Twitter last night asking to ban weekend football. Mark, this is a weekend game. Do we predict a Manchester United defeat here?
It's not why I'm going for a Manchester United defeat, but I'm also with Johnny in going. I'm going to go for Arsenal or draw double chance. So I suspect it'll be a tight game. First of all, Johnny, I've got to say, it's a good job Arsenal haven't paid $50 million for Amati from Leicester. Thomas Partey is the guy that you've been referencing, really, in terms of stiffening up that Gunners midfield. Yeah. And I think he will make No, it's all right, mate. It's all right. I think he will make a difference, definitely. I suppose the problem Arsenal have had is that they've not created a huge amount really in recent games, but I felt like they did okay at Liverpool. I mean, Liverpool were brilliant in that match, and Lacazette had a chance, a really big chance that could have completely changed that game. They only got beat 1-0 at Man City, a game that they created a few things sort of in that, an XG of 0.9 according to FBref. Not bad away to Manchester City. I just feel that the Leicester game has kind of really put Arsenal on a negative sort of spin, and I'm not sure that I'd go that far because it's been a tough start for them. They've been away to Man City, they've been away to Liverpool, been getting results, and like last season under Arteta, they did well in big games, and they've caused a few problems for Manchester United under Arteta already. Man United were brilliant against Leipzig, but Leipzig offered them a load of space in behind, and the way that Arsenal play these days, they don't do that. So I think United struggle to break down teams that sit back against them, and if Arsenal kind of play in this quite cautious way that they have in recent weeks, I think it could be another frustrating afternoon for United.
Yeah, Bobby, I'm not sure how much to read into that Leipzig game. As Mark mentioned, they set up in a very strange way, didn't they? Tricky game, I guess, for both sides here. How do you see it going?
Yeah, I'm struggling again to pick a winner. So for me, it's looking at the overs market, and over 2.5, I think, would be the way I'd go. Manchester United have been involved in some extremely high scoring games this season. Four of their five in the Premier League have actually had over 3.5. For Arsenal, four of their six games have been over 2.5. So I think we've heard the talk there about both having defensive issues. Arsenal likely to be without David Luiz. I think the latest we're hearing about him is that he could be out for a few weeks potentially. Mikel Arteta, ahead of the game in the Europa League against Dundalk, has been talking about his regret at not having William Saliba in his squad, because he's short in options in the heart of defence. So he's got Skodran Mustafi, who's only just back from injury, and Gabriel Magalhaes as well, who's likely to start. So then you wonder, freshness-wise, who's going to start against Manchester United at the weekend? Can Mustafi do two games in quick succession when he's only just back after a spell on the sidelines? So I think with both having those issues at the back, for me, I'd be looking at the overs market. You maybe even go towards the over 3.5 goals. These two sides like to play on the front foot. So again, that adds into the factor that there should be goals in this one when they take to the field at Old Trafford.
Mark, we'll come to you first on the next game. Tottenham Brighton, 7:15 kickoff on Sunday. Tottenham, the top scorers in the Premier League so far this season. Kane and Son linking up brilliantly well. Have you finally got into fifth gear?
No, I don't think so. And I don't know whether to be excited by that or just sort of a realist that it can't continue. I mean, I referenced it earlier. I didn't actually feel Spurs were that great against West Ham. I mean, obviously, I didn't expect the collapse late on, but I wasn't sure that it was quite as vintage performance as what I was kind of hearing at half time. It felt a lot like sort of scoreboard judges sort of looking at the game, thinking it was 3-0, and therefore they were playing amazing. I thought they were really good against Manchester United, even when it was 11-11. And then you can sort of look at the Burnley game, where they did show something else, you know, and I think they needed to do that after the West Ham game. And we saw a different side to Tottenham, didn't create a lot in that game either. I mean, this will be a completely different game against Brighton, who, you know, chalk and cheese, really, Burnley and Brighton, the way they both play their football. Brighton have given Tottenham a few problems recently. They absolutely hammered them at the Amex, and even it was sort of over the Christmas period last year. They were quite sort of difficult for Tottenham to get a hold of. I think that their forwards, Mopay and Connolly, are the type of strikers that Dier and Alderweireld particularly don't like playing against, because they're constantly running in behind. And Danny Ings is a similar kind of striker, has caused them issues in the past. So I wouldn't be lumping on Tottenham at the prices. I do expect them to win. I was just looking towards maybe the correct score and a narrow Spurs win. I thought that Tottenham to win 2-1 around about the 7-1 mark could be the way to go. I think what is a tricky game.
Jonathan Brighton, I think we always come on this podcast and big them up almost, but they're 16th in the division. One win is all they've got this season. I know this isn't going to be the easiest test for Spurs, but do you think Spurs will manage to get through here?
Yeah, I think they will do it. I mean, we're 4-7 Spurs, 3-1 the draw, and 4-1 Brighton. I mean, Spurs on the handicap for me here. I haven't been overly impressed in terms of Brighton's signings. The last season, the second highest score was own goals, and they haven't addressed that. They haven't brought in anybody else up front. Potter obviously must think he's got enough there. And for me, I aren't overly convinced. I think Spurs will probably they'll score certainly more goals than Brighton in this one. And I just, obviously, to win the game. And I just think, for me, Tottenham showed that they've got the guts, the resilient, they can defend as and when they need to, and they can shut the door. And I think here, I think Spurs minus one for me. Though Tottenham going forward, I'd be worried in terms of the schedule. It's been pretty brutal. They played before, up until the new year, they'll played 27 games in 110 days. Wow. So Jose definitely needs some backup in certain positions. I know he mentioned that before the transfer window shut in September, October time. And I think January probably will bring in more players, I imagine.
You can't bring in more players, Johnny. I mean, we've got, have you seen, I mean, like, you can't get Dele Alli in the 18, and Lo Celso's not starting, and Aurier and, you know, Reguilón didn't start at Burnley, and then Sanchez wasn't in the squad, and Harry Winks wasn't in the squad either. He's got enough players. Bring on the games. Bring them on.
Bring them on. Well, there we go.
Mark, you said you were too busy as it is. You don't want more games, do you?
That's part of the problem, isn't it? Having to watch Tottenham every 48 hours at the moment. That doesn't help.
There we go. Bobby, how do we see this game going, mate?
Yeah, Spurs win and both teams to scores. The way that I'm going with this one, Spurs haven't kept a clean sheet at home in the Premier League so far this season, and Brighton have scored in all three of their away Premier League games. I think Spurs have the quality to win it, and on the basis of those two stats on the goal scoring front, I think unlikely that we're going to see Tottenham do it with a clean sheet, especially the fact they come into this one off the back of European football. Maybe that just adds to a little bit of fatigue and does give Brighton an opportunity to go and score. I'm getting a bit sick of watching Brighton, though, and thinking, you know what, they've put in an all right performance here, but they just don't then have that end product. I'm willing them to go and do something better. I really like Graham Potter. I like the majority of the players he's got in the 11 and think that they're good quality, but they just seem to lack that little bit of real belief. Maybe when they get to the final third, it doesn't quite come off for them. And I think going to Tottenham is going to be an extremely difficult trip for them. Not the kind of game they really want when they're trying to get their season up and running this far down the line already. I think Tottenham will have too much. Now, I think all the games Tottenham have been playing is actually beneficial to them. We've spoken about Liverpool and Manchester City, Manchester United already. And the fact that maybe they haven't looked their best so far this season for differing reasons. But I think Spurs, the fact that they've played so many games and Mourinho has been able to rotate, he's got that big squad, as Mark says, has been hugely beneficial for them, because he's been able to build those fitness levels up. And for me, they're probably looking one of the better sides that I've seen at the moment.
Yeah, I have to agree on Brighton as well. It does feel like we're as if broken records on here. We're always saying, oh, he's going to click soon for Graham Potter's side, and it never seems to quite get there. Another fascinating fixture, that one. Monday's Premier League game still to go. I'm sure Johnny will have some non-league angles later on. And of course, the Naps still to come.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Being on the front cover of Rolling Stone magazine? Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the final part of the football podcast this week. It's already been a tasty show so far. Two more Premier League games to preview. So let's start with Fulham versus West Brom on Monday, a 5:30 kickoff here. Both of these sides still without a win in the Premier League so far this season. Johnny, is the home or the away team here going to get off the mark?
We're 7-5 Fulham, 23-10 the draw, and 15-8. I think that record's probably going to continue for me. I'm going for a draw on this one. I think the last two times I met last season, it was 1-1 and 0-0. So I don't think it's really an inspiring Monday night football, to be honest. For me, if anybody's probably going to score, it'd be Mitrovic. He's had the third most shots in the EPL so this season so far. And for me, I just think, it's got a draw all over it, this one.
Mark, will you be tuning into this one?
I won't be paying 15 quid for this one, Jack. you feel like it should at least be a tenner and an eye follow, given they'll probably both be in the Championship next season anyway.
Some kind of discount for sides that haven't won yet, shouldn't
there? There should also be a discount for West Brom fans who feel like they're going to be paying to view every single week because, like, their game. So I saw Michael Cox of the Zonal Marking fame saying that, you know, this Monday sort of early position is sort of the new last on match of the day, and it's definitely got that feel about it. It doesn't stop it being a really big game for both teams for the reasons that you mentioned. Just getting that win is so important. And you can just imagine if, like, Fulham don't win this one, it'll just feel like sort of that two seasons ago all over again for them, even if it's, you know, different players and different manager, and I think a different attitude to it. I don't think, you know, heads haven't dropped yet, but if you lose to West Brom at home, you're then looking around thinking, well, if we can't beat them, where's the win going to come from? I'm going to give Fulham another chance. I did back them against Crystal Palace last week and did my money and sort of tipped them up in the paper, but I just think with Fulham, I saw signs in some of their other games, particularly against Sheffield United, even against Wolves, where I was quite impressed with some of the things that they did. And they brought in some interesting players like Loftus-Cheek and Lookman. And, you know, they've definitely got a forward threat. You just need Mitrovic to sort of wake up, really. It hasn't happened so far for him. I'd just be edging to, but, you know, particularly with home advantage, I'm not sure you can confidently say that West Brom are better than Fulham, and that's what the prices are suggesting, you know, if you take away home advantage.
Yeah, and definitely, Bobby, even last season, you could see that Fulham and West Brom were miles behind Leeds' quality in the Championship, and that's already shown this season. If you had to pick a winner here, who would you be going towards?
If you forced me, I'd have to go to West Brom. But I don't think we're going to get a winner from this game. I think we are set for a draw. The last four meetings have finished in a draw between these two sides, and they tend to be quite evenly matched, as that suggests. West Brom haven't beaten Fulham since 2010. It's some way back. You have to go for the last time the Baggies managed to come out on top. But I've liked what I've seen from them this season. I remember watching them against Everton at Goodison Park, and obviously they had that sending off that really changed the way that the game finished. But I thought up until that point, they actually gave it quite a good go. You think back to the game against Chelsea as well, which of course they threw away in the end. But for a period, clicked quite well. That they've got some good players in there. And I think if I was to be backing one of these two sides to maybe stay up this season, I'd be leaning more towards West Brom, although I think it's most likely both will probably go down. Fulham, as Mark said, I really like the addition of Ademola Lookman. He looked bright when he first came off the bench in his first game, and it has looked better and better as it's gone on. I think he could be one of their better players this season, but whether that's enough, again, we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I certainly won't be parting with my money to watch this one.
Yeah, two sides lacking in quality, and I can think of a lot of things I'd rather spend my hard-earned pounds on than spending on that. The next game, though, looks more exciting. Leeds against Leicester. Go on, Jonathan. You can boast all you like about Leeds because you've had a lovely start to the season.
I sure have. Well, we're 8-5 Leeds, 12-5 the draw, and 8-5 Leicester. I'm going to go with a home win, I think. Leicester's trip to Athens could well take it out of them here. And I just think that Leeds so far this season, the high-pressing game, It's been brilliant, but if Leicester set up like Wolves, it could be a completely different game. Leeds notoriously struggled to break teams down last year that sort of sat back off the ball. And the Monday night football analysis was quite interesting. When Leeds, even at 0-0, Leeds went forward against Wolves, and there was a massive gap between the central midfield and centre of defence, and Wolves exploited that on the counter-attack in the second half. And for me, Vardy's experience at this level could well nick a goal. It's going to be very close. I certainly think under 2.5 here, I think this could be a close game. But I just think maybe Leeds at home, Leicester's long trip away to Greece in Europa League today. I just think Leeds probably will be fitter, I think might be quicker. And I just think, I think they might just nick this one. Leicester's sort of been a bit Jekyll and Hyde for me this season. They've looked good on occasion and looked poor. You know, the 3-0 defeat at home to West Ham being an example of that. So I just think for me, Leeds home winner, and I'm going to go with.
Mark, a word on Patrick Bamford as well, because I'm solely judging him off his small time at Norwich, and that probably wasn't the fairest time because he was utterly woeful when Norwich had him. But he's been marvellous, hasn't he?
What did you think of Harry Kane when he was there?
He was also...
maybe Norwich rather than the four. No, Patrick Bamford has always divided opinion, and even more so since he went to Leeds, because he should have scored more goals last season. There's no doubt about that, and even the season before. But Bielsa just stuck by him and had just unwavering support, and he was the right forward for Leeds. And I was quite pleased, you know, that more for Bielsa, I suppose, than Bamford, that he's starting to kind of repay that faith. And Bamford offers more than just goals to the team anyway. He understands, you know, exactly what Bielsa wants from him. So it doesn't surprise me that, you know, Rodrigo's having to play in other positions because Bamford is Bielsa's guy. I have seen a suggestion that maybe somebody that lacked a bit of confidence and the no crowd is playing into somebody like Bamford's advantage, because if he misses one, it's not a big deal, you know. There's no groans and moans, and there could be something in that. There might not be. We always try and sort of put agendas to stuff, don't we? When it you know, probably just randomness, but it's an interesting theory at least. Not sure he'll be celebrating too many goals in this game though. I'm going for under 2.5 goals as my best bet. Sounds like a risky one, because in three of Leeds' matches so far, they've scored at least 3 goals. But, you know, it was 0-0 for a long time against Aston Villa. I'm not sure that 4-3 against Fulham was a 4-3. They scored with, you know, virtually every shot against Liverpool. I'm looking more at the other games, really, that were quite tactical and quite tight against Sheffield United, and particularly against Wolves. The Man City game was chaotic, but I can see Wolves, sort of Leicester using Wolves as a template. It's what they did against Arsenal, played, you know, on the edge of their box for a long time and then waited for an opportunity. I'm not quite sure which way it's going to go, but I can see a tight game here, and I thought under 2.5 was the way to go.
Bobby, I mean, Jamie Vardy's the obvious threat to Leeds, isn't he? 6 goals already for him this season. And Leicester, all the talk's been about Leeds so far in this little preview, but Leicester, 4th in the division, 4 wins this season, 13 goals scored, a solid start.
Yeah, and I'm back in Leicester to get the win in this one. That's my best bet for this game. I think, yes, they are going to be involved in Europa League action and they're travelling across to Greece, but that they've got plenty of time to recover from that back on Monday evening that they'll be in action. So I think Brendan Rodgers will have the opportunity to give his players a slight break before he gets them back on the training ground. And he's a great manager, Brendan Rodgers. I think incredible job that he's done with the Foxes so far, and think that they'll be up there again competing for European places again this season, maybe dependent on how far they go in the Europa League as well to consider. But they've won at Arsenal, Manchester City and West Brom in their 3 away games this season. Probably don't read too much into the West Brom win, but Arsenal and Manchester City are 2 fantastic results there. So I think we need to give them a lot of consideration for this game. And Jamie Vardy back from injury off the bench to get that winner against Arsenal has to be regarded as the key figure in this game. It is worth bearing in mind that both sides have got quite a few injury issues at the moment. I think Leicester are only set to get stronger once they get Wilfred Ndidi back. Ricardo Pereira in at that right back position. I think his importance can't be undervalued really when he's playing down that right hand side. And I think it's going to be a difficult game for them. No doubt Leeds deserve plenty of credit as well for the way they performed this season. But I just think that the tactical nous of Brendan Rodgers will outweigh what Marcelo Bielsa has to offer in this one. We know exactly what Leeds are going to do. They have a plan A and they stick to that. I think Leicester are more versatile and should have the tools to win it.
There we go. Brilliant stuff. Yeah, looking forward to that one. There's the 10 Premier League games this week, all previewed. Great insight from Mark, Bobby and Jonathan. Let's take a look at any other fancies from any other divisions. Mark, we'll come to you first here. I know you usually like to delve into Europe. Is that the same this week?
It's not really. I think it's quite a tricky European card. There was one, I'm not sure if I'm brave enough to put them up to win, maybe on the double chance, but Sassuolo in Italy, that they're travelling away to Napoli, not an easy game at all. Napoli, you know, strong favourites, as you'd expect, but Sassuolo are just a really good, fun team to watch, really. They just attack every single game. They're unbeaten so far. They've won three of their five matches. And if you have a look at the goals that they've scored this season, three against Torino, four against Bologna, four against Crotone, four against Spezia as well. So been quite a soft start, I suppose you could say. But I just think Napoli are involved in Europe on Thursday. So I definitely won't be backing them. In terms of the EFL outside of my nap, not a huge amount, I suppose. I would say Hull to win away at Swindon, who are really struggling at the moment, would be one. And Peterborough drifting in the market against Shrewsbury. So that might be one of interest if they keep getting if they get a little bit bigger. I think I'd back Peterborough. Shrewsbury do very well in possession, second only to MK Dons. But in terms of shots on target, only one team's worse than them so far in League One. So they're not doing much with the ball. So I'd probably go for a Peterborough win. I'd stick them in the Akers.
Yeah, I love the look of Peterborough this season. Jonathan, we'll come to you. I always look back to your insight on Harrogate Town last season, and they've adapted well to life in League Two. I'm going to put you on the spot here. If there's one National League side to look out for, who is it this season?
Oh, good question. Anti-post-wise, I've backed Stockport County. I think they've recruited very well and got some sort of experience. Pros in the ranks there now that have been and done it at that level, and I think they'll probably take all the beating this year. They're sort of my bet, with my bet anti-post this season for the National League.
Great stuff. Yeah. Any other fancies for this weekend's games?
Yeah, I looked at the National League. I'm probably going to go Stockport and Boreham Wood in a double. Stockport are quite short. They're playing Weymouth at home. Weymouth struggled to adapt really to the step up. Quite an inexperienced young team, and I just think Stockport, yeah, they're very short, but they should get the business done at Edgeley Park. And I think Boreham Wood, always a solid side at home in the National League, and Dagenham sort of always notoriously that bottom half, lower end of the National League table, and I just think Boreham Wood here probably will have enough. And then sort of EFL wise, I think Port Vale away at Southend looks a good bet for me. You know, Southend looking free fall this season. And I think Wimbledon away at Milton Keynes potentially represents a bit of value around the 11-4 mark. Wimbledon has sort of impressed me this season on the road. They beat Fleetwood away. They look fairly solid, and I don't think they'll struggle in terms of relegation this season. I've personally had a bet on Joe Piggott, top goal scorer, at a three-figure price. So I'm hoping to keep the momentum going. And I just think here, I think it's probably slightly overpriced. I've made Wimbledon sort of 2-1 here, so I think there's probably a bit of value there, and that's really it for me this weekend.
Good stuff. Yeah, MK Dons basically Norwich City from 2016. Russell Martin is the manager. Carlton Morris, Cameron Jerome, Louis Thompson. Hopefully they'll have a good season. Bobby, any fancies across the other divisions?
Yeah, I've had a look at one in Germany on Friday. I quite like Stuttgart at Schalke. Schalke pretty poor last season, and that's continued through to this campaign as well. They sit 17th to Schalke at home on Friday. Stuttgart coming up to the Bundesliga this season have started the campaign really well. They sit in fifth place. Schalke so far yet to win, and they've only scored two goals in five games. So really struggling in that final third. Stuttgart have won all three of their games on the road as well this season, and there's a fair bit of value in them to go and get the victory this weekend. The other one I've looked at is down in League One, and Burton Albion, bottom of the table, but they go up against a Blackpool side, and I have got a bit of a I do support Blackpool, and I have to go toward Burton in this one, unfortunately. They've drawn three of the last four. Blackpool's campaign has been absolutely shocking so far. There was lots of excitement in the build-up to the term with Neil Critchley in charge. But discipline has been a major issue. There's been two sendings off in midweek in the same game. There was a sending off prior to that as well. I think it's four red cards so far this season now in nine games. And it's just been a really poor start to the term. So lots of value there in Burton. Despite being bottom of the table, they did draw against Peterborough last time out, who performed strongly. So I think they might be able to get something from that game, and maybe well worth a bit of interest.
Yeah, Burton did my acca in the midweek, so not a fan of them at the moment. Right, time for the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Okay, if the gents were to have one bet this week, who would it be? Jonathan, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go for Hull City away at Southend. Swindon. Swindon look to be only going one way, and that's back into League Two. Hull have been brilliant this season for me. They've kept faith, which is unlike them in the manager in terms of Grant McCann. They've experienced at this level. He's been there with Doncaster previously. He's brought in Malik Wilkes, which looks a good signing up front. Strengthened in midfield. And again, he's got Louis Coyle at fullback. Probably should be playing in the Championship, in my opinion. He's got a good, youthful team. And I just think with the form, the way they've been playing, I think Hull City away for me looks a sure bet.
Hull, the first team in the Paddy Power enhanced nap treble. Mark, add the second team, please.
Port Vale in League Two against really struggling Southend. They've at least paid their tax bill this week, Southend. So the good news for Southend fans is that they've got a team to watch. The bad news for Southend fans is they've got a team to watch, and things are going really bad for them at the moment. They've only collected 2 points from their nine matches this season. I mean, some of the results were understandable, losing 2-0 to Cheltenham, 3-0 to Salford. I mean, they're going to both be up there, but Tranmere are a really bad side this year, and they were, they comprehensively beaten 2-0 by them. Oldham are sort of struggling towards the bottom. They were beaten by them. Port Vale, really sort of strong team. I expect them to be around sort of promotion places. Got a lot of experience in there against a young Southend team. A couple of players used to play for Southend as well, Theo Robinson and also Worrell, and another player from Southend's past, when they were better. Now they're really struggling. I live reasonably close to them, and it's bad times, I think.
Yeah, they've been absolutely woeful, haven't they? They seem to have conceded quite a few late goals as well. Go on then, Bobby, you can complete the treble this week.
I'm going to go with that Stuttgart suggestion from Friday. I think Stuttgart far too strong on paper for anything that Schalke are going to have to offer in this game. That the fact that Schalke have really struggled in front of goal, as I said, just leads me to think that they're probably not going to find the back of the net in this one. And Stuttgart's away form is too good to ignore. So I'll be looking at that win for the away side in the Bundesliga.
There we go then. Hull, Port Vale and Stuttgart, the nap treble for this week. That will be enhanced on the Paddy Power website. Head over there. Should be easy enough to find. Brilliant show this week. Thanks to Mark. Thanks to Bobby. And thanks to Jonathan. If you are following any of the advice or having a bet of your own this week, please do remember to gamble responsibly and only stake what you can afford. We'll be back next week for another football postcast. But until then, have a lovely week and we'll see you all again very soon. Bye-bye.